Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, I'm Geoff Lacey.
And I'm Harrison RB.
We're hanging out in a shed.
And wearing high-vis jackets in this week's
Peapod.
Welcome to the show. Coming up, Stephen Watts joins us to talk about a very special shed that's in the pipeline for Petersfield. And it's not just tools and workbenches involved.
Hugh Bonneville talks to Shine Radio's Noni Neat about what's going on in his Petersphere recently.
Geoff talks to John Walker from the Petersfield Post about the latest local news. The Petersfield Museum brings a new 60-second history. And Susie feels cheerful on her latest wild walk.
And we end this week's Peapod with a cool jazzy number from Alton-based singer Callum Gardner.
If you love Petersfield...
I love the square.
It's a lovely, lovely town.
The hangers.
Everyone is welcome.
Then the Peapod loves you.
It's just a nice town.
Everything Petersfield is in the Peapod with Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey.
Hello, Harrison. How are you?
Hello, Geoff. How are you? I'm good, thank you. Not too bad. It's nice to be with you co-presenting today.
Yes. Claire is taking a break and has asked you, Harrison, to step up.
No pressure.
As you normally produce. So you're with us every Monday anyway. So welcome. It's great to have you on board.
It's a great honour to be here on the Peapod because, you know, it is the foundation stone of Shine Radio. It is the first thing we started doing, getting on for a year and a half ago now. And it's just, yeah, I just think it's fantastic. So it is a delight to be with you, Geoff, and particularly with you, given your status in this wonderful town.
Oh, stop it, H.
We all know it's true.
So, we've got Stephen Watts talking about men's shed. Now, do you have a shed?
It's a very random question. I do, and I wanted for years to convert it into a studio. It was always my ambition. Unfortunately, I just don't have the money all the time, really. But, you know, and it's just full of junk at the moment. We probably should take to the dump at some point. But, you know, it was something I always wanted to do was to convert my shed. But in terms of having a shed for, you know, a proper organised shed, I mean, my next door neighbour, we've got a weird semi-detached shed. Where not only is our house semi-detached, but they've got a shed that's joined onto our shed. It's sort of one building with a fence between it. And so the other side of the wall, you've got this amazing organised shed, you know, amazingly organised shed with all the tools in the right places. Yeah, it's absolutely perfect, very satisfying. But that was, so it's amazing. And then on the other side of the wall, which is our garden, in our shed, you've got this horrendous pile of stuff. You know, equipment that doesn't work, old TVs, all the stuff that should be at the dump is just filling the shed. And I would love to convert my shed. I don't know about you, Geoff. I imagine you're the kind of guy with a shed that you're very proud of.
I've got a summer house.
Okay.
I've got a garage that has got everything in it. And like you, it needs to go to the tip. We actually, about 5 years ago, we went into the garage and I said, right, it's all going to the tip.
Yep.
And the good lady wife said, no, what we'll do, we'll sell it. So we split the garage in half. One side we were going to keep and tidy up. The other side we were going to sell.
Okay.
5 years later, 90% of that stuff we were going to sell is still in the garage. So
just, no one wanted it, or you just didn't get round to selling it?
No, we tried to sell it. No one wanted it. And my youngest was actually surprised that you can actually fit a car in a garage.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because our neighbour puts their car in the garage. And he said, what, you do that? He said, because you cannot move in ours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I've got the summer house, which I use constantly during the summer. But what I really would like is a outdoor bar area. Like a man cave with a... I'd like to build my own pub.
Of course you would.
In the garden.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me one bit.
You have people around, you have a nice barbecue, you can have drinks, and yet that is my dream.
Well, there you go.
Maybe it ain't going to happen, but...
Well, I was going to say, perhaps we could make it happen. Perhaps one day it will happen.
We might have a listener thinking, this is a business I want to set up. I'm going to use...
You've read my mind.
Yeah, I'm going to use Geoff as a guinea pig. Let me build a pub in his garden.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Well, if anyone's interested in that, by all means, do get in touch. Now, another thing we should talk about is the route map out of lockdown, the four steps and the four tests, as announced by the Prime Minister yesterday. We don't need to go into the full details because we're all aware, we've all seen and heard. But of course, I thought I would raise one thing in particular with you, Joff, is that the government are saying, you know, assuming everything goes to plan, that live theatre can return in May, maybe with limited capacity, but still good news for an industry that has been a big talking point in the last year.
It is, yeah, which is going to be great. As you know, I do like to do a little bit of acting.
That's why I mentioned it. That's why I knew you'd know.
Yeah, Winton Players, they've had to put off their show three times, and we obviously didn't do this year's Panto. So it's great that there is potentially a light at the end of the tunnel. I am a bit concerned about Barbers not being able to open to the 12th of April. I haven't had my hair cut since the beginning of December. And yes, I am losing my hair. I've got quite a big bald patch on my head. Anyway, I look a bit of a state. And it's either that or do I trust my eldest to get the clippers out? I don't know. I really don't know this time.
I can't believe you're even... the fact you're even considering trusting him, you know, with the clippers. I think that is a fantastic thing.
Well, he did it once, a couple of times last year. And the second time, there was a bit of an issue.
Oh.
So whether he's lost his confidence, don't know. But we'll just have to see. But yes.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Well, that's it. But the 21st of June can't come soon enough where we can all meet up and we can spend the summer in the pub, which I know a lot of people in Petershill are really looking forward to doing.
And of course, the theatre as well, a lot of people are looking forward to.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Especially you, you know. I just thought I'd make that point because we were talking about the theatre.
Yeah.
Very much looking forward to that.
Yes.
As I say, that for me is something that I think, because I'm not going to be perfectly honest, I wasn't a massive theatre goer before. You know, I went to a handful of shows, but the way that the sort of you know, it's been talked about with the arts over the last year and just how much of an impact it's had, because you know we've had various sort of intervals in various lockdowns where things have reopened and theatres have been sort of the one thing sort of remained under the carpet, and it's really good to see that they are being, you know, being talked about in terms of reopening and potentially bouncing back later in the year. It's good to see.
It is good, but I tell you what I did do over the weekend. I actually watched a comedy gig online, which was
okay.
Different.
Nice.
It was there's a weekly podcast that I listen to other than, and it's not just the Peapod, they actually did a live version via Zoom.
Okay.
So I paid my £8 and it was a 2-hour show. I've got to say, it was great fun.
That's really good.
That's perhaps something we could do.
Yeah, why not?
Do a live version of the Peapod for people to watch.
Why not?
Via Zoom.
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested in watching Joff Lacey, then, you know, let us know. I imagine you're one of a handful. But what I was going to say...
Panto 2022 is a long way away. Yeah, if they want to get a fix of seeing me on stage, then...
Yeah. I went to a couple of Zoom shows in the summer, sort of during the first lockdown, which was really nice. It's sort of nice to see lots of different faces. And, you know, also the TV shows that we've been watching with virtual audiences as well. I don't know if you saw Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway at the weekend, which I thought was... Did you not?
No.
I thought it was really, really well put together. But no, as I say, the way they involved the virtual audience, it did feel very normal. I think that's something that, you know, we've made the most of technology and it really does help. But it's going to be good to... There's nothing like being there right before your eyes. You're seeing something on the stage. It's nothing like that. So it's going to be good to get back to it.
That's it.
Now, we love to hear from you. So if you have a story you'd like us to cover or would just like to get in touch, then please do. We're on Petersfield 555 500 or email pod@thepeapod.uk.
The P stands for Petersfield.
I think it's an amazing place to live.
The Peapod.
Coming up, Stephen Watts has information about a shed he'd like you to visit. And Susie enjoys a little bit of sun. But first, John Walker has the latest news from Petersfield and the surrounding villages.
It is a lovely day, there's no doubt about that. Sunny, warm, the daffodils are coming up, everybody's out and about. There's almost a bit of excitement in the air. Anybody would think there's going to be an important announcement tomorrow.
Well, yes, we could all be out about or have a timeline about what's going to happen. So, John, I'd like to touch on what was in the paper last week. We discussed it when we last met, and it was the exclusive about the Festival Hall and the £11.87 million potential proposed revamp. Great story. Have you had much feedback?
No. In a nutshell,
Well, that surprises me.
Yeah, it surprised me as well. We don't normally get a lot of letters come in on the Monday and Tuesday before we go to publication, but at the moment it's been very quiet about that. I think people may be waiting to see whether it's actually finally approved as a proposal for the council, something that they would like to do, whether it's a wish list or they are actually going to do it, who knows. But I am very surprised, because the people who will end up paying for it are the everyday residents of Petersfield, and you and me. It will be on our council tax one way or another.
Moving on, there's also going to be they've announced the one-month consultation regarding the high street and traffic in Petersfield. Any response to that?
Well, there's definitely two camps in this, and it's starting to become clear. You've got the environmental groups who, under the climate emergency banner, want to see less car use in the town. They also think it's going to be better for our quality of life with less cars in the town. And you've got the other faction who think that no cars in the town will kill the town one way or another. There's some bizarre arguments. People in cars driving through the town stop off and spend 50 quid and then jump back in their car and go off again, which has been a long touted view of the traders. I've yet to see it, to be fair, and I don't think anybody in their right mind would probably give that any credence. However, going back to the climate emergency, so-called by all the councils, they've declared that they want to be carbon neutral by 2035, 2050, or whatever it is. There is a definite swing from the powers that be towards cutting traffic in Petersfield town centre and in other town centres in East Hampshire. And I suspect the consultation will throw this up. And at the end of it, I think we're likely to see the bus gate more firmly implemented and emplaced. And I suspect you and I moan about people driving through there. And they do. Not all of them. But I suspect in 2 or 3 years' time, people won't be. You know, when I come into town, I now actively factor it in that I can't go down there. I'm going to have to go this way or that way to get to where I want to be. And I think in another year or two, that will become normal. You won't even be thinking about it anymore. But certainly, I think there's going to be big changes in the town. On the back of that, they're also talking about making St Peter's Road and Hilton Road traffic free while the school, when kids are going to school and when they come out of school. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, but my money is firmly this time, not that I would give it to them, on the side of the councils.
And I must say, John, despite my run-in with a deer before Christmas, I've got to say the double-page spread in the middle about the deer was a great piece. Well done.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed writing it. But again, this is all part of the environmental movement. They're going to be releasing beavers on the Isle of Wight soon, and that's imminent this year, I think. And I think we are going to see more species of animals that were native to this country until we killed them off for their fur or their feathers being brought back. I don't think we're going to actually see wolves and lynx roaming Hampshire, but I'm sure there are going to be some sort of safari park affairs where you can go and see them.
Yeah, and we spoke before about the sea eagle that was those that were released from the Isle of Wight, and one of them has actually made it back after 18 months.
Yeah, this is so, and it's incredible. I mean, all these animals and birds mainly, I have to say, and why they keep picking on the Isle of Wight, I don't know. I can't afford to go over there on the ferry, so I don't know what they put their animals over there for. But it's like the red kite. 20 years ago, that wasn't a thing. In fact, I don't even think there were any red kites around 20 years ago. Now, they're not common, but you can go out in the country and probably much guarantee you're going to see one every time you go out, even if it's only in the distance. So, yeah, it's a good thing that all these things are coming back. But equally, you've got to look at the things that perhaps aren't coming back and are getting killed by what we do. There we are.
So, John, as the sun beats down on us, what's going to be in the Petersfield Post this week?
Oh, it's 101 interesting things, Geoff. I just can't remember any of them just now. There's a piece from PECAN, as we're on an environmental-friendly moment. That's the Petersfield Climate Action Network, which I think might be an offshoot of Extinction Rebellion, who seem to have gone very quiet. Whether they've evolved into these little more local groups, I don't know. But PECAN is wants people to make all their houses more energy efficient and so on and so forth. And it's all admirable intentions, don't get me wrong. I'm not. The drawback for all these things with me, either we pay for them, you pay for it yourself as a householder, or it's government money and you get it for nothing. But it's not government money, Geoff, because it's money that we've given the government. And if they're taking it from one thing to pay for environmental improvements, you can bet that in 6 months' time we'll be paying for it in another way. And this term, government money, is being used all the way through the coronavirus. It's government money, it doesn't matter. Let's have some more of it. I've got this cunning plan. It needs money. I'll take government money. It's not government money. It's our money that we've given to the government. And I think we're all going to end up getting bitten in the rear sooner or later. That's nothing against PECAN. I think their objectives are fine. But government money doesn't come for free. As the saying goes, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
And any light-hearted news, anything that's going to bring a smile to your readers?
Yeah, there's going to be the usual human interest stories. I mean, Petersfield is good, in so much as there are people who are ploughing their own furrow, if you like, and they've got interesting stories to tell. And there will be a couple of those in the paper this week, which will be worth reading, along with more newsy items like, why were 5 police cars and an ambulance up Pullins Lane on Friday afternoon outside a house? So, yeah, it's going to be a good mix this week.
So do you know the answer, or are you just teasing the readers?
Teasing, at the moment.
Wow, he's not going to share it with me this morning. So, I'm looking forward to reading it in the Peaceful Post on Wednesday. And are there going to be the usual array of letters?
Well, Mr. Burstall has put quill to parchment yet again. And I think there will be the usual array of letters, yes. And I admire people for writing letters. I just don't admire their length or views at times. Mr. Burstall, I love him. But I just think he's firmly set his flag out here. There's no mistaking where he stands. And unfortunately, I'm the polar opposite to him.
And personally, have you got anything lined up for the week?
Yeah, we've got a few things. I'll do bits and pieces of work for elderly people, which they've enjoyed in this current climate. A bit of gardening for them and stuff like that. So I'll be doing some of that this week and doing some walking. And I was looking today, it's time to get the bike out again, I think, Geoff. And I shall be there pedalling the lanes around Petersfield very shortly.
And so we're going to finish there with that image of John Walker in his Lycra as he's pedalling around the lanes of Petersfield. John, thank you very much indeed, and have a lovely week, mate.
Cheers, and you. Take care.
The Petersfield Post is out every Wednesday and costs 75 pence, so please get one with your weekly shop or subscribe to the digital version. A bargain!
Now, there's a new kind of shed that's coming to Petersfield later this year. It's called a men's shed. And before you ask, what about women? Stephen Watts says everyone is welcome as he brings news of this community-based organisation.
Hi, Stephen. What exactly is a men's shed? Other than the obvious, of course.
The men's shed movement was started many years ago, actually, in Australia. And if I can, I suppose, sum it up, it's a group of people, not just men. I mean, I suppose it predominantly is men, but that doesn't preclude ladies joining it. And the group get together in a location to work on or work with and to socialise as a membership on practical projects. So that could include woodwork, metalwork, depending on the skill set of the members themselves. And they do that as a social activity, but also a responsible activity locally. So we will be working on projects locally, supporting charities if they need decorating or shelving put up, or, I mean, they're quite small jobs, but, you know, depending on the skills, we could do much larger jobs too.
Now, this is new for Petersfield, isn't it? It actually isn't up and running physically at the moment. So what's been going on behind the scenes?
Well, it started life as somebody dropped a line on Nextdoor, which is a sort of, I think, offshoot of Facebook. It's a similar thing, but local. And saying, wouldn't it be a great idea to start a men's shed? And that was about a year ago. And a group of men and one lady, actually, Sheridan Rocher from Age Concern, joined our very first meeting to explore whether or not a men's shed could be started and why we would bother. Anyway, it was all very exciting and we all agreed that this would be a great idea. And we decided to form a management committee and the idea, the seed corn of the men's shed, started. Since then, we've had monthly meetings and obviously at the moment these are all on Zoom. And we're at a stage now where it is fully formed. It is ready to start in earnest in a physical format, but obviously COVID, and we can't do that just yet. And we've got our eye on a suitable premises in the middle of the town, which is, it's absolutely perfect. The only issue is that the leaseholder that we're currently negotiating with happens to be rather busy administering vaccines, and I think we would all rather them concentrate on that rather than on negotiating a lease with us. But given that hopefully that rollout will conclude at some stage, we're quite hopeful that we may well have a premises that we can start to equip and kit out. That would be our first project, and we are looking for, well, we were looking for spring, but this lockdown probably has put that back a little bit. So let's say from the summer, we are hopeful that we can start the men's shed proper.
Is this a self-funded organisation, or have you received any funds from other organisations and businesses in town?
It will be both. The current membership, which is purely the management committee, so that's seven of us. We have paid our fees for the year, our membership fees, but we've been very lucky. We've applied to a few organisations. Age Concern set us on our journey. Then David Wilson Homes, and recently East Hants District Council. So at the moment, we've got funds. We shall be looking for more funding, particularly when we get the premises and we will need to buy some large equipment and when we get projects going, etc. But we've got our eye on certain organisations and charitable organisations that are quite regular funders of such an enterprise. So we have a plan.
That's always good. Now, you mentioned that it serves a number of different purposes. It's a social organisation and it's also a practical one, particularly after the year that we've been through. Are you finding you're getting more people interested in becoming involved?
Very much so. We launched a Facebook page just to give people locally an update on what we're about. We've also got a website. I did a New Year update for the website and Facebook page, and that resulted in now 120 that wanted to be part of the Facebook page, and we've had about 20 or 30 expressions of interest to become members through the website, and that's just in the local area. So I think that shows the measure of interest. As I say, it's predominantly men, but we certainly do not preclude ladies joining us. Lots of ladies have good practical skills that will be very welcome to our shed.
That's quite a number then. And you don't have to be a particular age to be a part of it, do you?
The only criteria is you have to be over 18. That's it. And any age thereafter. I mentioned things like woodworking, lathes, metalworking and that sort of thing. So obviously, whilst we're all practical people and willing to roll our sleeves up and get on, we also must make sure that we're all safe.
Is there a particular project you'd like to get working on then?
Yes, the shed itself. The facility we're looking at has actually got an area which will lend itself to our workshop. Quite a large area, so we're looking forward to filling that with lots of benches and skills and machinery. Also, we've been approached by the community garden. So it's not just woodworking, metalwork and that sort of thing, but gardening skills. I'm also come from a hospitality background. I'm a trained chef back in the day. And one of the elements that I would love to bring is teaching men who perhaps are on their own and suddenly finding themselves having to fend for themselves in the kitchen and haven't got those skills. So there's no reason why we can't set up workshops for learning to cook and skills like that. It's such a wide remit. and it's just about learning and socialising together.
It sounds fantastic. When you mentioned the cooking, I was there. If there is someone listening to this now who is interested and would like to get involved, what's the best way? How would they do that?
The easiest way is to go to the website, which is www.petersfieldmensshed.org.uk. And I stress the two S's in the middle, men's and shed. There are two S's in the middle. But if they go there, there's a button on the front page and it purely says register interest. An email will come direct to us. Every email is responded to and we will be looking forward, hopefully, to them becoming members when we can officially open.
It sounds like you're raring to go, and I know you've been working very hard on this over the last year. It's been really lovely talking to you, Stephen. Thank you very much for telling us more about the upcoming Petersfield Men's Shed.
That's a pleasure. Thank you, Claire.
The P stands for Petersfield.
It's a lovely area, lovely people, lovely atmosphere.
The P Pod.
Susie has a number of reasons to be cheerful this week, and she explains why in this week's Wild Walk.
Good girl. Wild Walk this week is, well, it's not from Siberia, but honestly, it feels like it. It will probably be much muggier by the time you get to hear this. But if you hear sort of scrunching and so on, it's because I'm lurking under my sort of Swedish hood. And I'm dressed for the weather, but oh, gracious, it is so cold. I went up to the top of the hangars yesterday, intending to do the Wild Walk, and it was -2. And listeners, I have to be honest, my hands were absolutely frozen, and I couldn't make my lips move properly. I was just speaking in a very strange way. So today I'm at Chapel Common, so it's much more benign. I'm in a lovely sunny spot here, while rain goes sort of rabbiting. We're in the Warren, as I call it. Of course it is, you know, no, Uncle Tom would have said. And feeling quite chipper, actually. I don't know whether it's the sunshine. I just got so fed up with attritional mud everywhere. So now that we have had that cold snap, and we're so fortunate here, aren't we? It's not Braemar. And just to have that sun on my face, I'm just standing here for a moment with my eyes shut and just actually feeling that warmth on my cheeks and just that brightness behind my eyelids. You can just feel it hitting that pineal gland and going, wake up, enjoy. I'm also feeling chipper, it must be said, that I had a phone call completely randomly today saying if I could get down to the festival hall at speed, I could have a Pfizer jab. And I don't know whether that's because I'd volunteered or something. I have no idea. But you can imagine there were scorch marks as I ran to get there. And it is just the most remarkable feeling. I know that nothing will change, certainly for 3 weeks. But as you also know, I'm always in my writing shed anyway and keeping pretty apart. But just that feeling that stage one, I had the Pfizer. So just that first initial thing is just so wonderful. And I know everyone comes out saying, oh, it's painless, but it actually was. I literally just felt her sort of touch my arm to do that squeezy thing at the top. And then she said, right, there you are. And it was unbelievable. And I've got no soreness or anything. So brilliant, brilliant. And what a good job the Lions have made of just making you feel welcome and everything is easy. So thank you to them. And thank you. The whole vaccination, see, my lips are still a bit cold. The vaccination process that we've had in Petersfield, I think has been remarkable, judging by what friends have said elsewhere, particularly over back in Chichester. Not great. I think it's okay now, but it was slow to get going. Anyway, I was hoping that you might be able to hear a bit of great tit chiselling or something, some genuine noise. But everything's very quiet. I can't even see other dog walkers. It's remarkable. There's a distant train. But anyway, that's my main news. I'm going to tell you next time about a party I might be having virtually, to which you, dear listener, will of course be invited. And if you don't know what FICA is, you might like to look it up. OK, I'll leave you with that. The wind gently sighing through some small trees that are bronze, so that means their leaves must be coming out a little bit. Just bronze against a very, very blue sky. How lovely.
Lovely stuff, Susie. Well, FICA sounds like a great idea.
In this week's in this week's 60-second history, we find out more about Lucas Brewery, which once stood where Tor Way and the car parks for the Red Lion and the Festival Hall now are.
It might be hard to imagine, but Petersfield was once a centre of brewing, with hops grown in the surrounding villages of Barrington and Weston being used by one of the town's many breweries to make ale and beer. Three of these breweries survived into the 20th century: the Square Brewery, the Borough or Amy's Brewery, and Lucas Brewery. Unfortunately, none of these breweries have survived to today. I'm Ryan from Petersfield Museum, and this is our second 60-second history exploring the history of alcohol in Petersfield. When travelling down College Street in the early 20th century, an imposing six-storey tower would have dominated the skyline. This tower was part of one of Petersfield's largest breweries, Lucas, which once stood in the area now covered by Tallway and the Festival Hall car park. Here is our 60-second history of the Lucas Brewery. Originally owned by Robert Kraft, the brewery was bought by brothers John and Robert Luca in 1880. John and Robert traded as Luca brothers until 1877, then later as Robert Luca. After Robert's death in 1897, a new business was formed in 1900 with William and Robert Luca, named W&R Luca. At its height, the full Luca estate consisted of the Red Lion, the Market Inn, now Jules on the Square, the Railway Hotel, now Lavant Court, and the Good Intent, all of these in Petersfield, and outside the town, the Jolly Drover, the Queen's Head, and the Harrow Inn. They also had a branch office and stores in Kings Road, Hazelmere. In 1931, Robert Luca II died, and with ever-increasing difficult trading conditions, the business was sold in 1934 to Strong & Co. of Romsey, who closed the brewery, taking some of the plant equipment before selling it on to H. Filer, a cinema proprietor. In August 1934, a serious fire broke out in the empty brewery building. The fire was called Petersfield's Great Fire and described as a thrilling outbreak, providing a grand spectacle for thousands of spectators. After the fire, the surviving buildings were pulled down and now no trace of the brewery exists. And there you have it, the 60-second history of Lucas Brewery. You can find out more about the history of alcohol in Petersfield on our YouTube channel. Just search for Petersfield and Alcohol. Or explore the lost pubs of Petersfield with our downloadable walk available on our website. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Ryan. And Ryan will be back next week with another 60-second history.
And if you'd like to join our volunteer team, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us on Petersfield 555 500 or send an email to pod@thepeapod.uk.
Coming up, Hugh Bonneville explains why he's been wearing a high-vis jacket. But first, while we wait for events to start again, here are a few things going on in the Peatsphere in a virtual way.
The Peapod Events Guide. What's on in the Petersphere?
B-Dales are hosting an online screening of the award-winning short film Adnan and a Q&A session with the directors afterwards. The event is in aid of the Rural Refugee Network and takes place on Sunday the 28th of February at 8 o'clock in the evening. Tickets cost £10 each, and further information about the event and how to book can be found on the B-Dales website.
Have you got any unwanted board games or puzzles? If so, the Free Shop would like to set up a games and puzzle library. Donations of complete good condition items only, please, to be dropped off at the Hub by the train station any Wednesday between 2 and 4pm, Friday or Saturday 10 till 2.
And Petersfield Town Council are manning the local lockdown helpline on Petersfield 779 296. That's Petersfield 779 296, should you need it.
And there's always your local radio station, Shine Radio, to listen to. You can choose from a wide variety of programmes which are available to listen to on demand, or tune in to the brighter mix of music, local news and weather. That's shineradio.uk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
If you're running an event, get it in the guide. Just email pod@thepeapod.uk.
Now, we all have stories to tell of how we've coped during the last year. Shine Radio's Noni Needs catches up with Hugh Bonneville to find out what he's been doing in his part of the Petersphere.
I was very jealous. to see that you got a mug from the repair shop. How do you get one of those?
Well, actually, it's my friends at the Weald and Downland Museum, where obviously the repair shop is filmed. They learned that I'm a big fan of the show. And obviously in lockdown, the shop isn't open. So they very sweetly sent me a mug with my initial on it so I can enjoy watching the repair shop with my H mug saying the repair shop on it.
I did watch the Christmas repair shop and I wept. It's just a tearjerker. Every time somebody comes in and it's like magic. I love it.
It is. I absolutely adore it. It's a brilliant, brilliant concept for a show because you're seeing great skill, you know, great stories, obviously, of family history heirlooms. But the thing that gets me is I get really cross if people don't cry at the end. if they're not grateful enough. If you've got someone, you know, you see these incredible craftsmen and craftswomen sort of, you know, repairing these intricate things. It's taken them, you know, days. I don't know. It's all obviously concertinaed in screen time. But it's, you know, taken them a lot of love and attention and great skill. And they hand it back and they go, all right, yeah, thanks very much. And what do you mean? You should be in bits, not only because this is your granny's whatever, but also the skill and the time these people have taken. You should be on your knees in floods of tears, because I am.
It's so true. I am.
But I was there last summer when things opened up a little bit. It was their 50th birthday and it was launching an appeal for their next 50. I mean, I've been going to the Weald and Downland Museum, you know, for sort of 30, 40 years. And it's such an amazing day out. It's a beautiful place. It's a great place to go for calm, imagination, take your kids. It, you know, it's got something for everyone, but also this great sense of conservation and preservation of the past. And learning about the present through the past, really. But the actual Weald and Downland Museum is obviously like all museums, all arts and conservation places is going through, you know, a really, really tough time, as are we all. But it will come bouncing back, I know.
Now, another thing. You've been spotted in Midhurst wearing a high-vis jacket. What are you doing in Midhurst wearing a high-vis jacket?
It's been a lifelong dream to wear high-vis. I haven't yet. I'm hoping to get hold of a clipboard soon. But
and a hard hat.
This is... And a hard hat. Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it? Well, since the beginning of the pandemic, I've been doing some volunteering. I set up a volunteer sort of group in my village to help with pharmacy and food deliveries for people who were isolating, etc. And in the course of that, you know, communicated with the Midhurst Angels, which is like a sort of big sister version over the hill.
Yeah, and, lovely name.
The Midhurst Angels, yeah. And they've been doing fantastic work. I mean, you know, they've been great during that, particularly that first wave. And our volunteer group has not disbanded. We're still there. But it feels that people have got things sorted a bit more for, you know, their own domestic needs. Midhurst Angels said, look, Raj Rahilla from the Midhurst Pharmacy has finally got a license to do the vaccine. And I said, I'd love to come and help. And so hence me wearing a high-vis jacket. We started a couple of weeks back now. Obviously, Riverbank Medical Centre there had started up a few days before. And I know that Petersfield in East Hampshire has been going, obviously, since before Christmas.
Yeah,
it's been a fantastic rollout.
Yeah.
Quite why West Sussex has been, shall we say, a little slow to have its portion of the vaccine, I don't know. And let's not get into that. But the point is, it's now up and running. And the Midhurst Pharmacy, which the team I'm working with, are about 60 volunteers, all incredibly passionate about helping. And I have to say, it's quite emotional, really, because the first weekend we did, well, not me personally, but, you know, about 1,200 people came through the doors over the course of the 3 days. And the sense of gratitude, the sense of relief, the glimmer of hope that people now have once they've had the jab, or that the jab is... You know, we all hope it's going to give us a degree of protection, even though we're still not out of the woods by any means. It's really quite affecting. And of course, giving the volunteers a sense of purpose. You know, we've all been, you know, drumming our fingers for so long and longing to get back. For those of us who are not already out there working, you know, to do something that you feel is useful and at least helping in some tiny way. You know, I'm not qualified to give jabs or anything, but I can at least, you know, put on a high vis and say, please, could you stand over there? 6 feet apart. Oi, you, stand 6 feet apart. I'm very good at all that.
You're very much a supporter of the COVID-19 app with Zoe. People keep reporting their status of how they're feeling, and now they've added, if you've ever had COVID, and now they've added if you've been vaccinated, because that information is really important to feed back, isn't it, Hugh?
There's been so much since the very beginning of this. Let's face it, there's been some appalling communication errors and misinformation, disinformation, whatever you want to call it. And from the very start, King's College London, in conjunction with this, it is a commercial company, Zoe, that is into nutrition, etc. They set up this app where you yourself report how you're feeling each day. And it's a simple thing, and it very quickly grew. It now has over 4.5 million subscribers. So they have a very, very good database. Anonymous. So people who think that, oh, it's the government interfering with my brain. Yeah. No, it's completely bonkers. It is, you know, you and me, literally each day going, right, I feel fine today. Or actually, no, I don't. I feel a bit wonky. I've got a headache, or I've lost my sense of taste. And they will go, right, okay, you can get a test. And through this means, they've been able to, and finally, it took several months, but they did eventually get the government to take notice. They actually get information minute by minute, and can show to the government at the end of each day, right, we think there's a big outbreak happening in wherever, because we've had X number of people report that they're not feeling well here. So they are actually about a week ahead of the ONS data. You are self-reporting, but they also take into account results of swabs, etc. So it is ahead of the curve, so to speak. And so I've been fascinated to watch it grow, you know, what's happening in your own area. And, you know, they absolutely predicted that there was going to be this second big spike in through December. So I've found it an incredibly valuable resource, and I have absolutely no doubt that it will be an even more valuable resource as people are getting the vaccines. They've now had over 200,000 people logging that they've had the vaccination, and so they can gauge what side effects there are and report again to the government. You know, we're getting this live data. I just think it's a really invaluable resource. And also you feel, again, you're doing, in some tiny, tiny way, you're doing something to contribute to the national conversation, or at least the national database.
Noni also talks to Hugh about his recent film, To Olivia. You can hear their interview at shineradio.uk.
The P stands for Petersfield.
Petersfield is special to me.
The Peapod.
And that's it for this week's Peapod. Thank you, Harrison, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure, Geoff. Thank you for having me. And thanks also to our guests, Stephen Watts, Ryan Watts, Hugh Bonneville, Noni Needs, Susie Wilde and John Walker, and to the super team at Shine Radio who support the show and help to put it together each and every week.
This week, Callum Gardner sings us out with his cool jazzy tune, Without You. This 25-year-old singer-songwriter, solo artist and multi-instrumentalist hails from Alton and has been featured on Mandy P's local music showcase. Tune in to Shine Radio every Thursday evening at 9 to hear the latest local music.
And next week, Tim Speller from Queen Elizabeth Country Park will be here with inspiration for getting out and about in our local area. Now spring is just around the corner.
So from Harris and I this week,
bye!
Somehow the skies rise, sun tries to look round without you. Time fizzles out, rain drizzles down without you. Somehow the odd tides, morning line to be without you. Fires rustle, cities hustling still, but like the night without the moon. I want your cotton set with me for a while. Rest in bed, catch up in your head and save your smile. I want your cotton set with me for a while. Get the silver loop, share an opera, ooh, and rain smile. 7 days feels like an age unless I'm whistling your tune. The notes won't rest upon a stay while I'm graving it on my own. Feel like sleeping till the weekend when I'm left alone. Staring deep into your eyes has become all I know. I want your cotton set with me for a while. Rest dressed in black, cash up in your head and serious smile. Oh, won't you come and step with me? Ooh, ah. Get the door but loose, you're an Oprah, Lou and Prince Pop. What have I got to do to stop missing you? Fell off of my feet, I can't compete with this bro. Now all the games I play, I try to lose. Cause I've fooled you all. And now I'm with you. I won't you come and sit with me for a while. Rest in bed, cash up in your head and say a smile. Somehow the skies rise, sun dries the ground without you, without you.
We need to have a plan.
Stay at home and make it shine.
You've got it.
Great lockdown listening from Petersfield's Shine Radio.
It's about staying as local as we can and helping as many people in the community as we can.
Job continues his bromance with John Walker from the Petersfield Post.
You do look lovely. You're the only person I see every week.
Motivation is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Hello, my name is Matthew. I'm from Class 1G at Church's College, and this is a song I spent hours listening to in lockdown.
I was walking past College Street and saw the phone box. So I had an idea that I'd start a little bookshop. It's really just come in and help yourself.
We've got lovely Lucy with us and Harrison, who's playing with some knobs.
The real pleasure is in the bass.
Bassline for just
stupendously crunchy.
I'm feeling quite patient about the whole thing.
Stay at home and make it shine.
Slightly intimidated by being told so precisely what to do.
Great lockdown listening from Petersfield's Shine Radio.